Victoria Melle. I do not play Lex Luthor on Smallville. Always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always on the Smallville Patreon edition. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I have four very special guests to talk about the top 10 episodes of Smallville as voted by you, the listener. I have Lance Laster, Victoria Male, Matthew Truex, and Matthew Rocha. What's up, everybody?
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
That was well coordinated. So anyway, guys, thank you all so much for taking the time. This is very exciting because there's five of us here talking about the top 10 lists of Smallville. We're going to do this once a month, every month for the Patreon. And it's a lot of fun because, you know, I've been going through Smallville chronologically. So this is, allows me to kind of jump around the space-time continuum, if you were, and watch these Smallville episodes that I have either already covered, so revisiting them, or have yet to cover, so it's really jumping ahead. So it's a really fun experience because I'm not sitting there counting how many times somebody went to the hospital or how many times Clark put on the red jacket or all these lines of dialogue or how many people Lana does not kill, Matrix. Wow. Not counting that either. So
had to throw that in, didn't you?
Don't worry. I know she kills at least one more person in season four. So that's where we are.
We'll get there.
In the main podcast, that's where we are right now. But anyway, we're talking about Lexmas this time because that's the number 10 episode as voted by you, the listener. So Lexmas, guys, let's go around. This is a full room, so to speak, of people, a round table, like King Arthur style here. So I will preface it with, hey, you, was this on your top 10 list? And we'll go around that way. So I'll start with myself being the host. That's the polite thing to do. This Lexmas is not on my top 10 list. Lance, is Lexmas on your top 10 list?
It was not.
Okay. Victoria, is Lexmas on your top 10 list?
That's a no for me, dog.
Matt Truex, is Lexmas on your top 10 list?
No, it was not.
Okay, Matt Rocha, is it on your top 10 list?
Apparently I'm the only one, and I was all excited. I was like, this is on everyone's top 10 list. Every Smallville fan loves Lexmas on top 10.
I was wondering how it got on this list.
I'm also looking at my list right now and realizing I might have been in a certain state of mind. Like there's...
So, but despite all that, everyone does love this episode. It is on their list. And now I'll start with this, and we'll kind of go around and talk to the episode for a couple minutes, and then the random topics too can come up. There are a lot of topics that are very interesting, I think, that are worth discussing, like the existence of Santa Claus in the Smallville universe. Apparently, that's canon. Santa exists.
I have a lot to say about that. I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm in favor. Okay, cool. Let's go.
So, Lexmas, it's not on my list. This is actually one, I don't know if the VCR messed up that night. Lance and I were living in college together in the dorms. I don't think I recorded this one. Maybe I was out doing something. I didn't see it until it came out on DVD.
Were you, like, home for Christmas?
That might have been it. That is an excellent point, Matt. I don't know when this episode aired because I didn't look it up because this is not how we roll on this podcast now. But I can't tell you who wrote it, who directed it, when it aired. It might have been when we went, might have been. When we went home for Christmas break or something, and I don't know. But I didn't see this one until it came out on DVD. I saw all the stuff online, like, look, it's Chloe with long hair and Clark with a scarf and Jonathan with glasses and Lana's pregnant. I'm like, okay, what is this? But
those were my key takeaways from the episode as well.
Jonathan's hair as well. Jonathan's hair looks like Bo Duke era. He looks incredible.
Yes, season five, yes. John Schneider on point. All right. But maybe that's why this one never really stuck with me, because I'm like, okay, cool. But it's one of those, and being a big Star Trek fan, I kind of thought about this as well. If you look at like everybody's favorite Star Trek episodes, there are always these alternate universe, time travel, kind of what if stuff you don't get to see in the show proper. And I think that's why a lot of people gravitate towards this, because it's like, oh man. And that these cool what ifs, you know, and that happens a lot in Smallville, as we all know. These cool what if scenarios that wouldn't happen normally on the show, and you know, the heart of Lex and Clark are still friends in the future. Everybody seems pretty happy. I mean, up until you know some tragedy happens, they had a good 7-year run. So I think that's why people really like it. And also it is a big step on Lex's journey to the dark side. So Lance, what are your thoughts in brief about Lexmas?
Well, I do love the episode. It was not on my list, but it was an honorable mention. So I gave it some credit. But I think you're kind of missing the bigger issue with the episode. And it's a Christmas episode. Everybody loves Christmas specials. And especially me, I'm a sucker for Christmas specials. And of any kind. So that's why I was really, really digging in this episode. To see a different side of Lex. You get to see his innermost desire, and you could see his innermost desire is to be happy. It's not like the other stuff that he ends up doing, which makes him so tragic in this show. Is like you see what he actually wants, what would actually fulfill him is a family that loves him and his friends that love him and surrounded by, you know, love in his life. That's all he wants. And then it's just so tragic to see that that's A, not what he gets, and B, what he chooses to not want anymore.
Great. Victoria, what do you think about Lexmas? Why is it one of your favorite episodes, or is it?
It's not. I'm just going to be real with y'all. I detest Lexana.
Yes.
Even fantasy Lexana?
Fantasy Lexana, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to bring down the mood for a minute. But I've lost someone. I had a major death in my family on Christmas Eve, so I can kind of relate. So it was kind of like, oh, because I hadn't seen the episode since I watched it in like 2005. I did watch this one. Zach, you might have missed it, but I remember watching it and being like, what is going on? But it was really interesting revisiting it and being able to empathize with Lex in a different way, because I could put myself in the what if, like if I was able, and it made me feel for him, like, yeah, if I'd known that I was going to lose someone like this in a tragic way on New Year's Eve, I really understood his choice of being like, no, F that. I'm not going to make these choices, Mom Angel, and I'm gonna go back and do that. And it was so interesting though, because as much as I detest Lexana, I wanted more of it. I really did not enjoy the Clark schmaltziness of the Santa of it all. And like, as much like, I don't know if you guys have gleaned from my episodes on Always Hold On to Smallville proper, but I love like either like taking clothes off of Tom Welling or putting him in outfits. So as much as I love Tom Welling in like a Christmas look, I didn't like the whole Santa Claus plot. I thought it was cute that they had him like delivering presents and he could do that because with his powers. But like, I think the whole like magical, I think there was just too much like magical realism going on with like the It's a Wonderful Life-ness with Lex, and then like the Santa's real with Clark, and I just wish there was honestly more Lex, and I thought it was a great episode, especially for John Glover as well as Lionel. But it's not one of my favorites, and it wasn't one of my favorites regardless of my own personal stuff, I think, because I really did not like Lexon on the show. And then revisiting it, I was like, well, if you guys are going to do this, like, do it full out, and I don't feel like the episode did it full out.
Those are some great points, Victoria. I think there's too much going on, like magically. Like, you have ghost mom who can show Lex the future, and also Santa Claus. You can't. It's like the Twilight Zone rule. This is like the unwritten rule of Twilight Zone. It's like you can have one weird thing.
Or make Santa a meteor freak.
Okay, that's
fine. Operate within the structure of the show that you have had for five seasons.
Oh my God.
Now, Victoria, I'm just picturing the drunken Santa Claus being doing one of the meteor freak. You don't know what it's like to grow up, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I would kind of love that.
That's great.
These green rocks, I was living in the North Pole, all right, and these green rocks came down from the sky and destroyed my home. And when I woke up,
guys,
I was 300 pounds overweight.
It tracks.
And had this
the Fortress
gray
of
hair.
Solitude? I don't know. Fortress of Solitude yes, was meant so to be true. I will be writing fanfic.
Yes. But it's like the Twilight Zone rules of weirdness, where it's like, okay, you can do time travel, but you can't do aliens and time travel, or you can't do like ghosts and time travel. You do ghosts, right? So that's like the issue with this one. I not that it like, because they were completely separate from each other. Like the fact that Santa exists had nothing to do with with Mama Lionel, Mama, what's her name, Lillian Luther. Yeah. Too many L's. And then you have the daughter Lily.
Welcome
like, really...
to DC Comics, yeah. though. Nothing has anything to do with anything. It's just all here.
So those are all great points, Victoria. So Truex, you're next up. What are your thoughts on Lexmas and why do you hate it?
I love this episode. I like seeing them. I always like seeing them play different sides of these characters. So just the idea of like super happy, like actually genuine Lex for a whole lot. Like he's got no pretense on him. He is just a normal dude. And it's so nice to just kind of see that for a second. I was also kind of thinking like, you know, you do the plots of an episode. I was like, is this It's a Wonderful Life? I guess it kind of is.
It's kind of that. And then also Christmas Carol, too.
That totally, but also there's a bit of like for the man who has everything in here too, and just kind of the way that the fantasy lays out. Obviously, it's a very different mechanism.
Isn't it also that movie that I didn't see, but I know of, a Nicolas Cage called The Family Man, where he wakes up,
The Family Man,
and he has like
No idea.
Or it's like, I think Nicolas Cage is like a high powered businessman, and he wakes up and he's like a suburban dad, which is also this episode.
Okay.
Not to be confused with The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage, which also came out around the same time. Very confusing. But yes, I think when I get to it, this is clearly a movie plot as an episode. I think we can all agree. But it's the shades of everything.
Plots as an episode.
It's plus four. And to defend their choices for a second, like if we're taking the magical realism for granted here, I like the idea of these two American, or at least like heavily Americanized, icons kind of existing together. Like for me, that's just like almost the old guy in town scoping out the new talent, you know, like just Santa's shopping by before he's Superman. If we're looking at it in like that weird Grant Morrison level of meta textuality, I kind of like the idea.
Now, if it had Santa had fallen off the roof and Clark gotten like the business card from him, would he have inherited the Santa Claus and had to become Santa himself? That's the question.
Yeah, arose such a ladder, and that, yeah, you're right. Okay, this was dangerous. I take it all back. It's could have gone wrong so quickly. Yeah, just ignore me.
So Roka, this is on your top 10 list, man. So represent your episode here. Tell us why it deserves a spot on the top 10 list.
All right. So Lexmas. So I'm representing on top 10. It's one of my very, very top, kind of for the same reasons Matt was saying. You know, it was so interesting and fun and different to see Lex, you know, at his most human, really. And especially at that point in the show, I thought was really interesting, like the placement of that, because if it was like season one or season two, it maybe wouldn't have been as fascinating or tragic, because we already knew Lex is just like this great guy in those seasons. But when it came to season five, and we had seen him torture Aquaman and like, you know, do all this other crazy
up here, I'm the shark.
I was quoting that for weeks.
To who? In what situation?
I would go up to people.
You have a conversation with random
Smallville quotes. No one would know what I was talking about in high school, and I'd be like, "You may be a big fish in the water, but up here, I'm the shark." And people, my best friend back at the day, he'd be like, "Is that another Lex quote?" I'd be like, "I don't know."
Oh God, this makes me sad. I wish I had more Smallville friends growing up.
Well,
I would have been there for you.
I know. If we knew each other in high school, we'd all be quoting this together. But it was to me, it was a great episode, because it was really fun and interesting to see Lex, where he was at that point, the sort of like in between transition point, where he was almost a villain, but he wasn't quite there yet, and he was in that spot where he almost could go back to being good guy Lex, but he couldn't quite get there. And to me, like, it presented a lot of philosophical sort of interesting issues, that idea of, you know, power versus living a happy family life. And to me, I always had this theory of it, but I don't know if anyone else thought this or not, but I always had this kind of weird theory that the two could coexist, but maybe because Lex is Lex and he's got Lionel as a dad, like, if he goes down the power path, like, he can't do it in a good, normal way. So it has to be really messed up the way he goes about it. But if his lesson in the end of the episode was, hey, maybe I should hold on to my power and money, but use it for only good, and then maybe I can have both, then maybe that could have been like a normal person lesson, but he's Lex, so he doesn't get a normal person lesson out of it. You know?
I feel like it's...
That's like the tragedy of the series for him, isn't it? You know, just the idea that he's always got, there's that dangling carrot of like, I could be a good man. Yeah. He could not choose this path of supervillainy at any point, but we just key him to see, make mistake and mistake and mistake and mistake. Oh, I'm so glad we got into this so quick, but yeah, that is just, it's heartbreaking at the end because you know that he could do it.
Yeah,
that then it,
oh, sorry. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's also just like the tragedy of the show and the premise of the show. And I know some people say that the show went on too long, but it was nice to have that time to explore Lex's journey and downward spiral, because I think if this was just a guy named Alexander Luther, he would have chosen like the right thing to do maybe, or he would have done that like halfway decision, but he's Lex Luthor. And we like part of Smallville is we all know how the story ends, which again, just makes the episode more compelling and more heart wrenching to watch.
Yeah.
I think with Lex, he is a man of extremes. So he could not have gone either way, but, and everyone kind of touched on it when he's presented with this choice of, okay, I can do the right thing, quote unquote, and have happiness for like 7 years, or I could do what I was going to do anyway, hold on to my money and power, and then figure it out when that happens. Like, I think, I don't know, I probably would have done that, because it's like, okay, if I have the money and power, then I can solve this. We'll figure that out when we get there. So I'm not saying I would do that slam dunk, but I understand the reasoning. It's like, okay, but he just couldn't, like you guys are saying, he just couldn't stay true on that true path. What were you going to say, Victoria?
Oh, sorry, I'm getting like really into this. Also because I think he gives a really good reason to what he's talking to Lillian, where it's not just like the future of it all. He also brings up his past. He's like, everyone I love has died, and this is going to happen to me again.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, because I'm living it right now, that you can't find happiness after you lose a loved one. But like, yeah, it was, and I was like, oh, that is kind of a good point. Like, I do kind of see where you're coming from with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feeds to the good guy side of him and the megalomaniacal, like, I have to control every part of my life side of him too.
Yeah. It's really, it really does play off of both. And it's interesting. Yeah. And also, Victoria, what you're saying is like kind of why I think the episode works so well, and it's in such a self-contained way. And even though it was cool, like later on when they confirmed that it was real, I think it kind of works in a way. I mean, that's a whole other discussion, but like, I think it kind of works better as like, maybe it's an ambiguous vision because it's his psychology kind of way, you know?
It's
definitely, it's definitely ambitious. And just like, and just the whole thought of like, you know, Lex literally, you know, gets paradise for a day. You know, and like, and it's just so sad, like the choices he makes after that, you know, it's, you know, it kind of reminds me of like, you know, Buffy, like, you know, when Buffy dies, she goes to heaven, then she gets yanked back. And it's just like, how do you, it's just like you feel for somebody like that. It's like, how do you recover when you've from experience like that? And with Lex, we see him just do the complete opposite of what it would be like to be in that state of mind, in that paradise.
Yeah.
And it's just, and to your, you know, to everybody's point, it's like, we know the end game already because his name is Lex Luthor. And so even though it is tragic, it makes sense that he chooses the Lex Luthor path as opposed to the Alexander, you know, family man Luthor plan.
Yeah. And to your point, Truex, you know, man who has everything, right? That's what I thought of with Superman, you know, getting, the black, what's that? The black, what's the thing called? You guys know the flower? It's Alan Moore. It's in Justice League.
Oh, the Black Mercy.
Black Mercy. That's what it is. Yeah. And so it's like to have that, like to see like the happiest you could ever be and then have it all ripped away is a terrible, terrible feeling. And then you're chasing it. You're just chasing it for pretty much the rest of your life, trying to recapture it, trying to micromanage everything. It's kind of like, this is, I just thought about this now. It's not quite the same, but it's like 50 First Dates. Right, with Adam Sandler. He keeps trying to
recreate.
I love
that movie.
It's so
great.
I cry at the end every time.
That's somewhere in my preconscious, but you just brought it back.
That's a plus five now. That's another movie plot as an episode then.
Yeah, really. That's funny. But he's ignoring the key part of the vision, like Lillian's key message to him, or in what Lana says to him, is just like, after you got shot, that was like the best thing that happened to you because that was the moment that you did this. So just fundamentally, he's ignoring the fact that, no, like today was the day I was supposed to change. Not today was the day I was supposed to do the same thing I was going to do in that alley if I didn't get a bullet.
Yeah. Well, Clark has the same problem in season five. He's like, he gets the choice to repeat the day, you know, when Lana gets killed. And then his dad gets killed instead. So, I mean, like, again, I would do this. Like, and when you're in the moment, you're going to make stupid decisions. You're like, okay, well, I know if I do this, that's going to happen. So I'm going to not do that. I'm going to do the opposite of that and then figure it out later. So it is tragic. And it's a lot more tragic for Lex, obviously, actually, it's equally tragic for Lex and Clark when they both have that.
Well, yeah, well, it's equally tragic for both of them because they are the mirrors of each other. So,
but this episode... Like, they're older, and they're like, I'm so glad that you got with Lana, yeah. Lex, and that we could both stay good friends. You're like, oh.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the best. How the hell is that?
Okay, that's
I feel like the writers were asking themselves awesome. That, though. Can I just say, like, the writers were kind of just like, if we make it a joke, no one will get mad at us.
Well, the awkward thing about that though is like at the end where he's like, "I love you, Lana. I probably tell you that all the time. I don't know, but I love you." I'm like, "Oh, that's a nice moment."
I love that line,
right? That's I probably nice. Tell you that all the time, but then he says, "I've always loved you." And I'm like, "Creepy, creepy, creepy, creepy."
Okay,
now
okay.
It's bad again.
All Lex on a thing. Yeah. Sorry, Matt. No, are you?
No, it's a stupid thing. Did anybody else have the trading cards for this show?
Oh, you loser! No. What are you doing?
Okay, well.
No, I feel like I'm not a real Smallville fan now.
Oh no! Please don't. Like, I never knew what to do with trading cards. My mom kept buying them for me. Which is, like, I'm complaining because my mother loved me.
What? Where were these? And where did you like a comic book store? Because I haven't seen these.
Yeah. Like, my mom must have found a site when I was a kid. Like every Christmas, I would get the last season's. Backs of cards or whatever, but they were cards that were like the love or like the couples, the love interests on the show. And season one, there is a Lana and Lex card, and I remember as a kid going like, "That's weird that this would be a card." And then like 6 years later, it's like the card's new. Oh my god! You know?
They knew.
It's literally in the card.
How statutory rapey? How statutory?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, no, really though.
If this existed, if this show existed at this time. You know, it, like with everything happening, do you think that all that stuff would be way more creepy?
Yeah. I don't know. Riverdale, you know,
Riverdale's a good. No, but I just want to say, okay, I want to agree with Victoria on something, but defend it in this case for Lexmas. So, I agree with Victoria. I hate Lexana in season six. I mean, at the time when season six happened, I really. Was super bored with that arc and that's a lot for me because like at you know growing up with Smallville like saying I was bored with something was like blasphemous so like I was very bored with the arc of Lexana and then I started to like it as it turned into the whole like realizing how duplicitous and effed up Lex is like what he's doing to her then I was like okay that's the Lex Luthor of the comics that's where it's going I like it but in the case of Lexmas I agree with you. It would be cool to see even more of it, but I really liked it in Lexmas because it was, to me, it felt like the most genuine that you see Michael Rosenbaum with an actress. And I mean, romantically and the most genuine you see Kristen romantic, even though of course, you know, we all love probably Klaana from season one or whatever, but like just the two of them felt like a really like, genuine adult.
I like that season really, one distinction. Very good, Matt. Very good.
Season one.
No, I get it. I get it.
Oh, God.
But Rocka, I totally get you. Well, because it's in this one, it's a different Lex. It's literally a different Lex.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And Lana feels like she's on drugs the whole time. Like, she is just so
happiest pregnant
happy
woman I've ever met. Like,
there it is,
right?
Yeah, there it is.
She listens to all these stories and like, honey, you tell me every year. Like, you listen to that whole thing with a smile, not an eye roll. Like, this is weird.
I thought of a new tally board I need to add. Before my mother died. Like, seriously, how many times Lex said that in the show? He's like, before my mother died, we came here every summer, and I liked it because
we
worked like
farmhands.
Can that
be open
for
anybody, though?
It's like, that's, whatever,
that
Lex.
Should be a new tally board.
I think it should. I really do. Yeah, it's interesting to hear everybody's take on this. I agree. Like Lex It's weird because he's always kind of had a thing for Lana on certain levels, you know, even back in like Nicodemus in season one, there was some kind of like, she was coming on to him and that, putting the whipped cream on and all that kind of stuff.
To be fair on Lex, who wouldn't at that episode though? But
well, I mean, she was 15 and he was like 22 or 15. Something. So, yeah, I think, well,
that's generous saying he was 22.
What? He always feels older than he. I mean, all they all do, but yeah, the way they play his character,
I think
feels
he's
way
supposed to be 5 or 6 years older than Clark. So he's like 20. He's like 21, 22. Even
yeah,
though Rosamond is like, you know, 10 years older than that, but so is Willing, right? But the Lexana thing really didn't start properly until after this, and it's kind of like one of those things where like he kind of got it in his head from this, you know, like, oh, that was a great fantasy life I led with Lana. Let me pursue that in the real world.
Yeah, and it's interesting because like you're right, because like they kind of like really ramped it up after this, but before this though, there's all these hints throughout, like, you know, the first 4 seasons, and especially, you know, in season 4 during Onyx. So however, if they were ever gonna do Lexana, right, like, it should have just been a one-off, and it should have just been this like an Elseworlds thing. They should have never put it in the show proper. Like if this was the first instance of it, it would have been actually shocking. It would have been like, oh, neat, and then we would have never seen it again, and we wouldn't have had cringeworthy,
amen,
you know, scenes to watch for, you know, years to come after this.
Yeah.
Right. Diggle's John Stewart. Great. Never mind.
you know, speaking of that, I really thought that was seeing this episode after Elseworlds from this year. It really reminded me of Stephen Amell waking up as Barry Allen. You know, he's with Iris and it's really awkward. And that reminded me of Rosenbaum here with Lana. He's like, Lana? Dad? What's going on? You know, she like kisses him. He's like, whoa, you know. So that kind of reminded me of that. And plus they have that goofy music, like doo 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 doo, or whatever they're doing. Like
Mark Snow is off the charts.
Well, yeah, no, it's the Hallmark Channel Christmas movie music. That's exactly what that is.
It is. Also, can we talk about, like, we've discussed how, like, happy, like, on drugs Lana was. That was, like, also the best behaved little baby in the world. Like, the little son who's like, Dad, I love you, Dad.
Aww, Alex.
I'd be like, yeah, kids sound great. If, like, that's what they really are. Like, if that's what, that was my experience with a child, I'd be like, cool, they seem easy. Like, no wonder he's like, I can handle this.
Even, like, Clark has that line too of like, you've got a great son, and like part of me is like, that's weird to say, but also like, that's nice.
Let's talk about this for a minute. So Lois is not in this episode. All right.
Zach, your favorite Zach.
So it's implied, okay. I mean, it's implied that Clark and Chloe are together. They're at the Christmas tree place together. He's like got her arm around her. They're both working the Daily Planet.
Do they not say as much? I like watching it, I always assumed that they did.
No, it's all. They never say, "Oh, you and Chloe and stuff." Though. But it's there because they're going to shop for a Christmas tree together. Okay, like and they're together.
Right.
And they're not married or anything. There's no rings or anything like that. But I thought that was interesting. Like, I want to live in that universe where Clark and Chloe end up together, right? But here's a fan theory for you, right? Because I had to recontextualize my mind watching this. Oh, this is season 5. I'm like seeing Clark and Lana as a happy couple. I'm like, whoa, what is this, right?
But can't wait for Jason to show up.
Jason. So
also when they brought up the election, I was like, wait, what? Where are we?
So Clark got his powers back at the beginning of the season, but they had to exchange it for somebody's life, you know. And so I guess Lois is the one who ended up dying in this future, right? Because that had to be rectified, right? And that's why I ended up with Clark. So that's my fan
Or
did she just shack up with Oliver Queen? Because
that's
my little headcanon.
It wouldn't have been Oliver Queen. It would have been Arthur Curry.
Well, either one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Hot blonde guy from the Justice League.
Is it a butterfly effect thing, too, here? Like, Lex Luthor going good just changes everything in the DC universe around them?
I guess so. Although, and let's talk about Reckoning for a second. Remember, Lois, like, gets electrocuted or something, and Clark saves her upstairs at the Talon? Had that not happened, then maybe Jonathan wouldn't have died. You know what I'm saying? So Clark, people forget that little moment of Clark saving somebody. So talk about butterfly effect and all that stuff. Anyway, the real reason is Erica Durance was only in 13 episodes in season 4, but it's interesting that she's nowhere to be found. Also, I really would have liked if Clark was wearing glasses in the future, but for some reason they decided to give those to Jonathan. Mm. So that's all I had to say about that.
Well, that's
missed opportunity.
senator.
Yeah. That does go to a theory that it's all in Lex's head too. Though, you know.
Well, yeah, it's because
Clark, is he Superman? Is he not? Right? Yeah, totally.
Right, because this all could very well just be like Lex's best guess at the future at this point.
Well, the other theory is kind of like what you said, that like, what if Lex going good? Like, does that change the whole DC universe? Like, if Lex is good, does Clark become Superman? Like, in Smallville universe or not? Or is he just Clark Kent doing good stuff? And
well, does he ever become Superman in the Smallville universe? That's its own discussion. Anyway, you all know I love Smallville, okay? But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's a fair question.
Well, they do say that he is a reporter at the Daily Planet. And then, Zach, do you just want to take a moment about like finally seeing Chloe and Clark realized in like, a meaningful way?
Yeah. I mean, this is the closest you're ever going to get. Like, they're basically like living this life together. She's publishing a book. He's a reporter. I'm like, this is the future. This is what's going to happen, guys, when Lois dies and Chloe takes her name. Okay, this is all predicting the future. See, it's right here. She's gone, you know? So, if Reddit was around in 2005, the threads on this would be, I mean, they existed on Krypton's site. That's what it was. Krypton's site was our Reddit of the time.
Yeah, we were all talking.
We were all on the forums together.
We were all on the forums.
Oh my God!
Well, that's kind of surreal. Like,
it's like 900 pages. I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. But see, episodes like this are like, see, it's the future. Where's Lois? Clark and Chloe are together, right? Well, scoreboard, you know. Like, anyway,
at the time when it aired, I remember my theory, but it was totally wrong. But I wrote a fanfic kind of based around that. But like, the theory was like, in my head at the time was like, oh, maybe what they're implying is like, if Lex didn't go bad, Chloe would still be alive, and maybe what they're implying is Lex is going to kill her. That was my theory, like, you know. And I was like, oh, that's scary, right? But I'm glad that didn't happen. But that was what I predicted at the time. I was like, oh, maybe she's gonna die.
Very well might have been the plan in season 5. You never know.
My favorite unresolved mystery of the whole show. I kept waiting for her to die.
They just knew at some point.
In like a good way, and then it would project him forward.
I think they were just like joking about it at some point, right?
That's where it felt like they were going. It felt like it was going to be important.
We've never heard of any Chloe Sullivan, and we're from the 31st century. Does the Santa plot bring things down? Was that necessary? Like, I know we were kind of talking about, like, all the weirdness aside, take out the fact there's like magical stuff going on both ends, like, is the fact that we have to waste time with Santa Claus.
I hate it.
Yes. Yes.
I hate it so much.
It does slow the episode down.
I just feel like they went two steps too far. First of all, I just think they should have had Clark delivering presents. Like I thought it was fun that he was being Santa. Also because I know what it's like to be on like the low rung at work and like overcompensate to get people to take you seriously. So when Chloe was like, I got all the presents and now I have 6 hours to deliver them. And I also, you know what I freaking loved about this episode? That Chloe actually used Clark for help instead of Clark just being like, Chloe, look this up. Chloe, find this. Chloe.
That's true. Good point.
I was like, it really is an alternate universe. I thought it was really cute that he was like delivering the presents. I was like, oh, okay, that's cute. But then the fact that the Santa of it all, or even if it was like a drunk guy, some drunk mall Santa, I was like, I can still do this. I can still do this. And then when he was actually magic, I was like, oh.
Yeah, see, that's where they overstepped. If it was just like, a drunk mall Santa who was just like kind of discouraged at Christmas time and Clark kind of like inspires him that there is still good in the world, and he just goes on about his day, that would have been fine. But like, they just took it a step too far by having him actually be Santa and like magically like whooshing all the stuff away. Like that was just a step too far. Now, granted,
and that they talked about it so much. Sorry, and then the fact that they freaking talked about it, and like Chloe's like, I think it really was Santa. I'm like, okay, loud and clear.
Yep, I agree. That was too much.
Now there is. Why am I talking about Twilight Zone so much? I got Twilight Zone on the brain because it's coming up soon as of this recording. But there's an episode of Twilight Zone called Night of the Meek. Everybody check it out.
I'm so excited.
All right. And it's about a mall Santa who's like down on his luck. He's an alcoholic. He gets his magic bag. He gives people gifts. And then he becomes Santa at the end. sort of. So anyway, check it out. I recommend it. And that's the kind of the vibe I got from that. But I agree. It should have just been like Superman giving people hope. You know, just a normal guy. Although it was funny to hear Santa Claus say, they bitch, and they bitch, and they bitch. I'm like, whoa, Santa Claus!
I know. I like that he was like drunk Santa Claus first, and then when he shows up at the Daily Planet later, it's like a little more cleaned up. It felt like, yeah. You know, like they were a little more coiffed Santa. You know,
he got magic sober.
Yeah, the magic, you know, the magic dirt fell away.
No, I always get a creepy vibe from that scene, even though it's like I know he's supposed to be Santa, but just him visiting Chloe in the Daily Planet all at night,
yes,
he's like chuckling like Lionel, like Miss Sullivan, and I was like, it's kind of creepy. Like,
I had a thought though. That scene inspired me. Like, you need like some kind of serial killer movie where a guy just like Santa visits people on Christmas Eve and like. Vulnerable. Yes. I'm like, really though. Yes. I'm like, this is a serial killer vibe from this guy. So, you wanted to be a meteor freak, Victoria. This is where this leads.
It's a perfect setup. Are we all of that same age where we, or is this just me? Did, as a kid, did you guys all see that like Dean Koontz like book with the creepy Santa like going shh, like this? Like it scared the.
Maybe.
You know, I don't remember that, but like just thinking about this, like, watch in a couple of years, like Kringle, directed by Jordan Peele, is going to come out, and it's going to be this.
Yeah. I got five on that. All right.
Yep.
There was Krampus that came out.
I do like that. Like
that was basically the same
Chloe's
thing.
Chloe's reaction. Chloe's reaction when Santa shows up, though, like she does, like the cute little like Santa, oh, the alpha gave it away, and then gets to it, like. Yeah. Why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just very like, into business.
Okay, Bob.
Like, now you're just a strange man. What's going on?
Miss Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a telltale sign. If someone's Miss Sullivan,
now
you
I'm
get
reaching,
the frick out
of it. Now I'm reaching for my mace, and I'm 2 seconds away from running. You know,
Watching Bathroom, I thought you were going to see, like, her look out the window and then see like some reindeer or something, but it's
or hear jingles or hear jingle bells or anything, but we didn't hear any bells or anything or hooves, nothing. It was just
no
like
flights.
No flight, no tights. The rules of the very good, Matt. And then you just hear them talk about it.
Santa's not exempt. Wait.
No, no one.
Talking about the Christmas party at the end of the Kents, the real one, right? What is Lana wearing? Like it's snowing outside and Chloe, well actually yeah well the both of them but Lana especially remind me of her season 4 clothes.
Wait, can I be thirsty for a second and like offer the female perspective here?
Please.
So if I was like, if that was my boyfriend, I would be like, oh, I'm so cold. Like put your big strong arms around me. So I like totally got that move. Like respect.
Fair enough. Understood.
Because I noticed that too.
She was
like,
the only one comfortable on set too.
No, it just reminded me of those season 4 outfits she's wearing. She has this tattoo she doesn't want anyone to see yet.
Yes.
She continues to wear these clothes that show off her tattoo. She wants no one to
see. Right,
so
let me wear backless clothes for half an episode.
Me and my mom always, because, you know, we were always the best Smallville friends, you know, growing up. She's the one who introduced me to the show as a kid growing up. And so we'd always watch it, and we'd always make fun of that in season 4. A lot of, oh, you saw my tattoo? And you're wearing...
You're wearing a crop top, Lana. Like,
you literally just got out of the shower. I saw the tattoo. Yes.
That reminds me, though. She says at the first scene with her and Clark, she's like, "Usually it's just me and Nell for Christmas." Really? Because I haven't seen Nell in like 3 years.
It's off screen, Bill. Zach, off screen. Bill.
Yeah,
I was shocked
to hear her name
on Nell.
Yeah, she just
Nell.
This fake Christmas stuff. Thank you for giving me a real Christmas. Like, your aunt raised you. Your parents are dead. Show some respect. Where's Henry Small when you need him? Nowhere. All right. Where's Chloe's dad? All right. Why is she at the Daily Planet? Chloe is all her dad has, and she's like, "Oh, forget it, Dad. I'm working double shift at the Daily Planet." These are terrible families in Smallville. All right. Like, you know, Lex's family was bad. Everyone is terrible, other than the kids. So.
And the Rosses, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Rosses.
Everyone pour some out.
So,
yeah, really.
Speaking of family, though, I think I mentioned it a little, slightly earlier, though. Lex named their daughter Lily for Lillian.
Was,
like, okay.
Cute.
And then he named his
cute
son Alexander. Like, oh, Alexander Luther II. Like, okay. Like, I thought you'd get away from those kinds of names, Lex. But anyway. Yeah, it was cute to see him.
You're married to Lana Lang.
Yeah. It was cute to see him mess with, like, the chair. Like, the
that was
the,
a great
car
moment.
Seat.
Yeah, that was,
that was a great moment. So, oh, but then I was also, like, I was just on the ride of the fantasy. Because if I was literally about to pop and my husband couldn't do the freaking car seat, I would be like, I am reevaluating a lot of decisions right now. But no, it was really perfect. That was such a great moment and done by both of them where he was like, oh no, like I have to.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a Michael Rosenbaum, like, messing around with the kid behind the scenes. Bloopers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I could totally see, like, Michael, like, just not being able to operate a car seat. Like, I have a friend of mine, who is terrible with it, and he just refuses to do it. Like, he has a kid, but, like, he refuses to, like, install it. So it's, like, it's just permanently in this car, like, just set up. Like, he hasn't gotten rid of it. It's just, like, it's hilarious.
Deal breaker.
Just in case.
Apparently, so... Yeah, you know, so and then you know, something else we should talk about as we kind of move toward the end and wrap up things up here is Lionel in this episode.
I was just gonna say,
yeah. So why don't you guys take it away? Talk some Lionel.
I think this is some of the coolest Lionel we ever get. Like, this is so, like, top notch, like, very fairy tale the way he's shot, but, like, it reminded me of, like, Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. And the way his hair is kind of slicked back, it's a little longer. It's just, like, it's an odd way to see him, but also very, very true, too. And just, obviously, he's as cold as he's ever been in this scene. I love this line.
Yeah, I agree. It was, like, the when you see him in that moment, it was so, like you said, fairy tale-esque. It was, like, way more... to the point, like, just, he's not playing around. He's not, you know, being like, I get it to make you stronger. You're my son. He's just like, no, like, no BS. I'm going to let your wife die. Boom. Like, just so cold, so evil. And it made me wonder if, you know, if this is a true version of events, of how things could go in the future, if Lex had stayed good, does that mean that, like, because Lex and Lionel are so yin and yang, at the opposite ends of the spectrum all the time, does that mean if Lex stayed good, that Lionel would have stayed bad and not would have been, and he maybe wouldn't have had made the transformation into good, perhaps, because they always have to be on opposite ends of the spectrum? I don't know.
I think that's a great point. I also think it was just so delicious to, both in the quote unquote real world and are in the fantasy, to see Lionel and then John Glover just so perfectly play Lionel grappling in both situations with these life and death stakes. And, like, since the stakes are so high, I think it was just like, I don't know why I'm making it about food, but it was like, this is like a feast for both of them as actors. And, like, they, like, John Glover just always kills it. And, like, cause you get kind of where he's coming from.
In real version, right?
Yeah, in the real version where he's like, operate. And he's like, right. And it's kind of like what Lex is saying. He's like, I'm just going to have the resources. So if this something like this does happen, I can fix it. Like, Lionel kind of does that. He's like, no, I'm airlifting my son to, like, the best hospital, and we're going to take the chance. And you know, because that's Lionel, that he's also like, Lionel, like, Luther's don't do wheelchairs.
Yes.
But
this.
But then, but also, like, you can see, like, the kernel of the father, like, fighting to do, like, save his son. And then, yeah. And then, like, in fantasy land, and I love how you say it is, because it is very fairy tale like, and I love how that confrontation scene between them is lit. It's, like, so stark. And intense. But yeah. And you see him just be, like, totally heartless. And it's just, it's such an interesting, because we've seen this dynamic before, but to see this, like, shade of it, and to see this like, dialect's not the right word, but to see this, like, little fracture of it was really great and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Excellent points by all three of y'all. Now we're going to make some comical observations.
yes.
One.
Now it's time.
Crack's neck.
And now this, he gets shot in Granville. Okay. So they don't take him to a Granville hospital or find a Metropolis. They take him to Smallville General. It's like, no. He should have been air flighted to Metropolis immediately. All right.
Immediately.
Second of all, like, Lionel be like, no, my son is going to walk. Like, that's so Lionel, because he's ashamed of him because he's bald, much less in a wheel, you know, if he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, no way I'm wheeling this kid around. <yeah. laughs>
There it is. And then ironically, if you go to Labyrinth in season 6, where Clark has his like whole fantasy headland, Lex is in a wheelchair. His legs have been amputated from the car accident he had with Clark, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then finally, does Lionel not have a house? Like, I understand they're on a budget and they can't, but why is he in Luther Mansion? All right. Which, by the way, I got a good look at that L. There was no Veritas symbol there. All right. But anyway, that's.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, no. The one error.
Sick burn.
It's true. Well, see, it's interesting. Like, you know, Lionel sitting there, like, I mean, I think it's just to Lionel in the Luther Mansion shows how powerful he is in contrast to Lex in the fantasy world. And it's interesting. Right. Y'all keep using like the term like fantasy world, 'cause it is. And to me, it's very, A Christmas Carol like, because at that role at that moment, Lionel is like Scrooge, and Lex coming to see him asking for help is Marley asking for that day off, right? And he's just like, he just doesn't get it. And so it accentuates how powerful he is with how weak that Lex is. But then, I think the most telling line that Lionel says in there is he's like, grandchildren. He's like, I don't even have a son. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, and up until that point, Lionel, as bad as he was to Lex, like, he's still so vain and arrogant that he needs like that lineage. He has to tolerate Lex because the Luther name is very important to him. And so, and then when you go to reality, Lionel, even though he probably hates his son, is doing all this so we can make sure that he walks and that he's alive, so that way he can carry that on. Like, even though, you know, Lex didn't appreciate it, Lionel knew it had to be done for that reason, not for Lex's health, but for his benefit. So it's an interesting to see the two Lionels, like, you know, back to back almost in these scenes.
You're talking about the two Lexes, like, it's also the similarities between the two Luthers here. Like, they're both making, I'm talking real world Lex and real world Lionel here, are both making these key life choices, decisions, without really much thought beyond, no, I'm a Luther, this is how I want it, I'm not compromising on anything here. And they're both making the same mistake, just proving the fact that Lex is a Luther.
That's so true. That's a really good point. And it's also interestingly, like, parallel to season two, when Lex had to make that choice for Lionel in the hospital, being blind, right? And it was like,
I thought that as well. That was some nice symmetry there. Yeah.
That's a good point.
And of course, Lionel went blind for several episodes.
For like half the season.
So way to go.
We both would have been wrong.
Yeah. I really like the very good. This is Lionel over here, right? I really did like the last scene between them. You know, between Lex and Lionel, it's like, how dare you play God with my life? I'm like, good. I'm glad Lex found out that Lionel was going to let him die. Yeah. Like, he didn't even have an answer. He was like, how would you justify it if I had not lived? And Lionel kind of tries to, like, back away, and Lex grabs him and, like, looks at him in the eye. I'm like, okay, that's like, you know, every single scene between the two of them is so awesome. Yeah. So, what more can you say?
That was like a great, like, little foreshadowing for Descent moment right there. Like, yeah. You could see it in Lex's eyes. Like, ooh.
And
I wonder what, like, do we have any, did they ever talk, either of them, about those scenes where they do have to be that intense? Because, like, you know, we've all seen the bloopers where, like, they're really pally and jokey with each other when they're just doing, like, let's drink and figure out who has the power in the scene stuff. But, like, in these intense moments, like, you can tell, like, these guys must get along and, like, trust each other quite a lot here, because they get to, you know, really get up with their emotions.
Well, I know they always talked about, like, the art of touching. Like, John Glover's, you know, you're like, just like putting a hand on your shoulder, you know, it's that kind of thing. And that's the kind of Rosamond picked it up from him, and they're all just trying to out, like, you know, personal space invade each other.
Touch each other.
Yeah, I know, that's it. I try to make it not sound that way, thank you. But that's what's great about the show, and they really do make the show.
Yeah.
Finally, last point here, Lexmas. Stupid title or brilliant title? What are your
I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really brilliant. Cute and, like, weirdly not a Smallville title, but that's why I like it. Like, it's just so, it's not like Precipice or Vortex or Veritas.
Like, right, like Yuletide would have been the Smallville.
Yuletide. You know?
Yes. Oh, I am slain.
Did Did they ever have another Christmas episode? Did I just forget? Or does
I don't
remember?
Think so.
No.
Right?
Oh wait, they did.
I just keep thinking of Thanksgiving.
The one where he shoots clone Julian, right? You're not my brother. You're a mistake.
Christmas?
That's the Christmas episode.
Oh,
kind of. It's like
that's right.
It's like Snowy Owl, and there's the.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That, season 7, I kind of block love from my memory. But yes, Gemini. Yeah, and Chloe and Jimmy get stuck in the elevator.
Oh, that's right.
And Twist,
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
Clark, it's
remember,
Bizarro.
None of that. Okay.
The internet spoiled that for me before I saw it. I was very upset.
The internet.
I guess it's my own fault, though, for going to the Krypton site forums before I watched the
yeah.
episode. Anyway. Yeah, Lexmas, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not a real word. But it's like, oh, Lexmas. Like, I they had multiple Valentine's Day episodes, but only one Christmas episode. Just odd.
Well, and also, it tells you everything you need to know about the episode. It's a Christmas special, and it's centered around Lex. So, I mean, and obviously, for a Smallville Christmas episode, what else were you going to call it?
We just said Yuletide.
Nah, I mean,
Yuletide.
Yuletide.
Yuletide. Tonight.
Someone get Al Goff and Miles Miller on the phone.
Guys, we found the one mistake.
See, I'm gonna roll with the dice.
We found the one missed opportunity.
Oh, I hope they're not Patreon subscribers, guys.
I'm on to you, Nathaniel McKenzie. That's not a real name. It's the first one that came to mind. Okay, but
Steve Rogers.
That's suspicious. So, all right, guys. Well, a lot of fun. Any final thoughts here? Anything you just were dying to mention that we didn't mention? I think this was a fun roundtable here, but I'll turn to you. Victoria, any last thoughts?
Griff? Guys, we totally ignored Griff.
Poor Griff.
Griff!
Shocker!
He goes on to play a Kryptonian in season 9 and a police
wow.
captain on Arrow for like at least the first 4 or 5 years. So,
as a jaded industry person, you gotta love a local Vancouver actor. You gotta love a local. That you
I'm
can
sure
just hire
he was
and
on
not
Supernatural
have to pay for and get that tax rebate
and
on.
The X-Files. I'm sure he was on all these shows. But anyway, yes, Griff. Because he makes things happen. I consider it done. What about you, Trix? What are your final thoughts?
I think it's kind of I think it's my favorite Superman Christmassy thing, or at least the most rewatched for me. As far as like Christmas
even
traditions
more than the,
stuff.
The Howie Mandel, Mr. Mix's Piddalick, Lois
I
and Clark
really
episode?
Love that Lois and Clark episode. I hate the one that Dean Cain wrote. And I really like...
With the Jeffersons?
I really like... What is it called? Yes, with the Jeffersons. I really like Comfort and Joy from the animated stuff, but...
Oh, I watch Comfort and Joy every Christmas Eve. It's part of my tradition. Like,
yeah.
I watch that before I go to bed on Christmas Eve.
This is dark Christmas stuff for me. Like, I really like this episode. I think it's my favorite Superman Christmas thing. So, gold star.
What about you, Roka?
I totally agreed. I think it's one of my Christmas specials. Like I said, I go to it every year. Me and my mom rewatch the episode. It's a Christmas tradition. It always takes me back to seeing it when I was way back in high school, back in the day. And, I just thought it was incredibly well written, well directed, really beautiful. The Santa stuff is a little bit much, but it never really bothered me just because it was in this context of this weird one-off episode. So I just thought that stuff was just kind of funny. But like the whole Lex stuff was really interesting. Oh, and I just want to say, and on the Lex on a note, we were all joking about how the hell did that happen? I always point that out when people complain in later seasons that like Clark and Lex became enemies over like a relationship. I'm always like, nah, dude, like look at Lexmas. They would have been friends if Lex was a good guy when he started going out with Lana.
Wow.
But he's an evil bastard when he does.
Oh,
so that's why.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. For me, the standout thing, like weird extra thing from this episode, it was going to be Griff, Victoria took that, but there was all good. It's all good because there is another thing that happens that caught my eye really quickly in the episode, and it happens at the very beginning, and the two gangbangers that assault Lex, right? So the guy, the dude that like initially gets his attention and holds him at gunpoint. Was a Power Ranger. And that's just like, are you serious? It's crazy. But like Jorge Vargas, he's been in a bunch of stuff, but like he was one of the New Zealand Rangers around that time. This is like right in his little heyday. He hasn't done anything really else. He's done Smallville, a few bit parts on like Falling Skies, and then and that. Yeah, so this is all he's done. I looked him up because I was like, this guy looks really familiar. And then I saw it, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
And why do they shoot Lex in the back? That's a little excessive. He was going to give him his watch. You know, he missed opportunity. I thought they were going to like show it. It was going to be the watch that his mom gave him from Shimmer.
Too,
I was like, that's why he doesn't give it over. Yeah. That's why he gets shot.
Yeah, me too.
But they didn't do that. He just got shot for no reason. Yeah. So, way to go, Smallville
Riders.
That
would have been cool. that little alley where they meet real quick, or like underground there, that's totally the Luther Court tunnels, right?
Clark, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, it was one of those like, I had to come all the way down here to this place I own.
Exactly. My last favorite little thing that I noticed in the episode is when Clark is doing his Santa thing and he sees the milk and cookies and he has some. I thought that was great. That was a great little moment. So
yeah,
I love that. I'm the new and improved version.
The new improved version.
Yeah, indeed you are, sir.
You're gonna get Tom Welling in a suit, that's for sure. So no Santa suit for him. So guys, it's been a lot of fun talking Lexmas. I said this episode has never really been like a favorite or whatever. It's interesting kind of what if scenario. Wonderful Life, Christmas Carol, Family Man, November Man, November Man? That's Pierce Brosnan. Rene, that's the Taylor of Panama. But anyway, Pierce Brosnan, the November Man, it's a good movie.
Pierce Brosnan and that other Bond girl.
Yeah, what? Oh, yes, the one from Quantum of Solace. I made a fan trailer about, I combined those two movies just to make another Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie because he got robbed from a fifth one. Then I took the title Everything or Nothing from the documentary, and that's what I called it. But anyway, enough about me and what I do. So yes, it was fun talking about
Lex.
We
might have to talk Bond today soon.
I know, right? We will. Always hold on to James Bond. So this is going to work, guys. I didn't know how this round table was going to go, these top tens. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and I thank you guys all for taking time to be on it. Everybody knows me and Lance. We're here all the time. Let's go around and you guys can plug yourselves. Victoria, who are you and where can people find you?
I am Victoria. I am a co-host on the Your Biggest Fangirl podcast, which celebrates female fans and looks at fandom through the female perspective. That being said, we have had Zach on to talk about fandom after the finale. And I think we're just exploring fan culture and championing it. So I think there's stuff that everyone can access. So you can find us at yourbiggestfangirl.com.
What about you, Trix?
Lois and Clark, as always. We're still kind of down right now, but we've got the first two seasons. And the last episode we did was an interview with the composer of the series, who was awesome to talk to. So check us out on Lois and Clark at all the things.
All right. What about you, Roka?
For me, no amazing podcasts like you guys, but I can be found on Amazon Prime Video. If you're looking for a really crazy horror B-movie comedy, check out my film. You can find me on there. It's called Bullets, Fangs, and Dinner at 8 on Amazon Prime. Or you can follow me on Facebook, Matthew Rocha, MATTHEWROCCA.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys. A lot of fun. And have a happy holiday season. And a Merry Christmas, and to all a good night, and to how's it go?
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Is that it? Okay, yeah, that.
God bless us, everyone.
But until then, always hold on to Lexmas.